Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Due to the termination of monarchical regimes and the plundering of the people's wealth by rogues and thieves, there will be great social disruptions. People will be killed and injured, and animals and women will be stolen. And for all these sins, we shall be responsible. Purport. The word na means we is very significant in this verse. The sage rightly takes the responsibility of the brahmanas as a community for killing monarchical government and thus giving an opportunity to the so-called democrats, who are generally plunderers of the wealth of the state subjects. The so-called democrats capture the administrative machines without assuming responsibility for the prosperous condition of the citizens. Everyone captures the post for personal gratification and thus, instead of one king, a number of irresponsible kings grow up to tax the citizens. It is foretold herein that in the absence of good monarchical government, everyone will be cause of disturbance for others by plundering riches, animals, women, etc. So, this verse here, 18.44, is actually a life-changing and it's a twist in the plot, where Prabhupada has also said in the purport that the word na means we, is very much significant in this verse. And Prabhupada is actually mentioning in the purport that how the Samik Muni is taking responsibility of the whole Brahmin as a community, because what has Sringi done? So I would like to recap a little bit so that we can get into the flow of what is happening and whoever has joined for the first time. So at this moment in time, Maharaj Parikshit was lamenting because what he did, and he was very much regretting his actions. He presented a dead snake around Shamik Muni's neck like a garland, and Shamik Muni was hiding his aura, and Parikshit Maharaj was unaware of that aura. So once Maharaj Parikshit went to the forest, and suddenly he was really hungry and extremely thirsty also. So he was looking for some water, and for a while he was looking for some food as well. And up upon, he stumbles on to the ashram of Shamik Muni. He was so thirsty that he could not even talk. So he felt like he will leave his body there and then. And with a lot of strength, he said, Jalam Dehi. Jalam Dehi means, please provide me with some water. But the level of the sound that his body was producing, those words that came out, wasn't audible to Shamik Muni. And further, what happened was, Shamik Muni, who that ashram belonged to, was concentrating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was in Samadhi at that time. And he did not hear Parikshit Maharaj. But his intentions were not to ignore Parikshit Maharaj. If he had knew that Parikshit Maharaj was there, he would get up and welcome him nicely and receive him with lots and lots of respect. Because although Parikshit Maharaj was inaudible, but Shamik Muni knows that Parikshit Maharaj is one of the greatest warriors and a greater king. So because he was so engaged and focused in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, that he did not realize that Parikshit Maharaj had entered his ashram. So at that time, Maharaj Parikshit was in such a condition where he felt like he was going to leave his body if he was not, if he didn't get the water or some food. So further on, although it was happening due to the will of Supreme Personality of Godhead, as everything is, that is why he was so thirsty and hungry in the first place. And also he had some negative thoughts. Because, you know, when you are in that kind of condition where you're very thirsty, where you're very hungry, you get hangry almost. and a lot of other things come to your mind. So that's exactly what happened with Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj Parikshit thought that he was getting insulted by because he has shut his eyes and he's trying to meditate. So he already assumed that this Muni is not real. He's almost a con artist who's trying to ignore a greater king. So all these, you see, negative thoughts are coming into Shamik Muni's, Maharaj Parikshit's mind. So, but in reality, Shamik Muni was 100% engaged in his sadhana and in his practices. And hence, Maharaj Parikshit thought that Muni isn't really welcoming me and giving me water or providing me with any sort of welcome. So he thought to do the same with Shamik Muni. So what Maharaj Parikshit did, he was about to leave, but he saw a dead snake. So he picked up the snake with his bow and arrow, and he presented Shamik Muni with a garland of a dead snake. So, and this karma that Parikshit Maharaj did at that time wasn't really meant for Parikshit Maharaj. But he had so negative thoughts that Maharaj Parikshit left straight after that. So Shamik Muni has he had a son named as Sringi Rishi. And he was very gifted, energetic, very brilliant and effulgent son. In Sanskrit, the word is Tejasvi. He was very effulgent. And at that time, he was bathing in a river nearby. I think the river was Godavari. Godavari, yes. And so what he did, one of his friends came running saying, "Oh, your father has been bitten by a snake." And that friend actually didn't realize that the snake was already dead. So then what happened? That kid actually misunderstood Shamik Muni. And he further told Sringi that your father has died. And Sringi didn't go and check for himself what has happened. Instead, he took some water and he cursed Parikshit Maharaj. So this is where the plot changes in this pastime. So that person, that Sringi saying with the water in his hand, he's saying that person who has made my father die and left his body should be dead in 7 days. And later on, he realized that was Parikshit Maharaj who actually did that. So now he knows that Parikshit Maharaj has done this, and also that he thought that since Bhagwan or Sri Krishna has left this world, these kings have become out of bounds. And me being the representative of Krishna, I am going to get them in order by giving Parikshit Maharaj a curse. He was thinking that I am the representative of Bhagwan or Sri Krishna, and I will get all these kings in place. So then he further said, a Takshak, a bird snake, will come and bite Parikshit Maharaj, and Parikshit Maharaj will leave. So now Sringi came running to his father's ashram. And so when he was running, he came and he started crying. He said, oh, father, please, you've left me. What am I supposed to do now? And by his whining and lamenting, Shamik Muni came to life. And he was like, oh, my dear son, what has happened? And then Sringi was like, oh, my God, are you alive? I did not realize that. And instead, he admitted his mistake and said that I have cursed Parikshit Maharaj. And now Shamik Muni is very disheartened and he's very saddened by what has happened. And then he basically said to his child, Sringi, that a greater danger is about to come to the world. And so now we have kind of connected to where we were. So that's why he's saying to Sringi in this verse that thus, on account of ending monarchical regime and thus people's wealth being plundered, the roaches and thieves and everything worse will be about to come. Why? Because obviously Parikshit Maharaj is one of the greater kings. So what did Shamik Muni did at that time, he sends a letter to Parikshit Maharaj. And he explains that what has happened and that you should start preparing to leave this world. So at that time, Parikshit Maharaj didn't even reach his palace, but he already started lamenting. He already started to think that what he has done isn't right. That is not something that he should be doing in the first place, and insulting and saying, you know, bad things or thinking even bad things about such a great sage. So, but at the same time, Shamik Muni was thinking that at least, you know, the king should be informed. So that's why he wrote the letter in the first place. So now Parikshit Maharaj, being such a great king, had already realized his mistake, that he has done a greater mistake and that shouldn't have been done. So here, it is a bit of a character of Parikshit Maharaj that has come in life, and I should focus on that really, because this verse is really important, because it the whole chapter itself shows a turning point of the whole Bhagavatam and where is Kali Yuga started from. And without discussing Parikshit Maharaj's actual, a little bit about his character will be unfair. So at that time, Parikshit Maharaj was lamenting, and he was saying that he was thinking that he's lower in class and he has no class. He's almost uncivilized person because what he has done. So we've always heard, right, that from our day-to-day dealings, that especially in the corporate world, that I remember people used to comment, don't play the blame game, don't do this, don't do that, and even if someone point out that you've done this or you've done that, there's no realization. But whereas Parikshit Maharaj is of a higher caste and he's of a higher authority source. So Parikshit Maharaj is already realizing his mistake. But whereas in our daily day-to-day life, we don't realize our mistakes until someone has pointed out to us that you've done this. Even then, what we do, we say no. We defend ourselves. We say no, we haven't done anything bad. But here, Parikshit Maharaj is already lamenting that Shamik Muni didn't commit any crime. Even I did such a heinous crime for wrapping him with a dead snake. So you see, there's a bit of learning here, and the character of Parikshit Maharaj is very important, because we can learn so much about from this little instance about his day-to-day, and we can put that into our day-to-day, that what a great thinking that great king has. So further to add this, Parikshit Maharaj thinks and relates himself as a lowly person or a fallen person. Or in Hindi or Sanskrit, we can even say a neech, bahut neech vyakti. So at this time, I would like to also focus on Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 2, where Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, kutastva kasmalam idam vishame sanupasthitam anarja justam avargyam akriti karam arjunaha. Here one word is very important, that is anarja. So what does anarja means? So anarja means uncivilized man. So in chapter 2, verse 2, Bhagwan is saying to Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They're not at all benefiting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. In the purport as well, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned very clearly, in the presence of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna's lamentation for his kinsmen is certainly unbecoming. And therefore, Krishna expressed his surprise with the word kutaha, means where from. And some impurities were never expected from the person belonging to civilized class men known as Arjuna or Aryaha. So, now coming back to Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here, anarja is further explained that someone who spits on someone, or someone who speaks harshly to someone, or someone who is basically uncivilized and speaks harshly and you know, just doesn't care about anyone. And there's a story that is mentioned about a great saint called Namdev in Maharashtra. He was once, he was going for a bath, and in Godavari River. And the moment he went and he came back, a Yavan, Yavan means a Muslim, or who's Arjun, he spits on him. And Namdev, being a saintly person, he doesn't say anything, and he goes back and he bathes again in Godavari River. And what happens further is, he goes back, he comes back, 14 times he spits on him, on Namdevji. And Namdevji didn't say anything. And on the 14th time, when he was coming back from Godavari River after having a shower, he realized that Yavan realized that what I'm doing is wrong. And he surrendered to Namdev. So this is a very perfect example for uncivilization and how he was uncivilized. So here, think Parikshit Maharaj, being such a greater king, he's comparing himself with that story, Anarja. So further in 18th and 19th chapter actually of Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit says to himself, Aho Mahaya Nidham Anarja Nakritam. That means ki Aho Maya Nidham Anarja, that I am the Anarja. And what have I done? So you can see and we can learn that Maharaj Parikshit is so powerful, and he's so he's realized so much about himself within that very moment. So here also, if we expand onto being cultured and uncultured, Srila Prabhupada has established four principles that all the Vaishnavas follow. And that is the most cultural thing to do. And at least the cultured men shouldn't behave in an uncultured way. Like what is happening right now is in the world is just terrible as it is. And if we practice more unculturedness, then, you know, a lot of danger and a lot of not good things will happen in the world. So like cow killings, illicit sex, intoxication and gambling, these are on the, are all on the peak in the world right now. So he's already thinking that Parikshit Maharaj is already thinking, realizing all this, that something severe in consequence should happen to me because what he has done. Imagine if you've been told that you've done something wrong and you didn't realize you've done something wrong. But the moment you realize, you are asking Bhagwan that please give something bad to me. We will not be able to, because we are not that powerful ever. We always want good about ourselves. We always want best things for ourselves. But here, Parikshit Maharaj is so great that he is saying that, hey Bhagwan, please give me some sort of severe consequence or something terrible that he has done to Shamik Muni. Just imagine the power of realization that he has had, and his almost a guts to ask for something sweer, and to the extent where he's actually thinking that he has offended a pure devotee, because Shamik Muni was in sadhana at that time. And he also wants this to happen because he was thinking that this karma that he has done, it will help him to get rid of the bad karma that he did with Shamik Muni, and he will not dare to do it again. So he's even saying that everything, including his money, his power, his position, that should be taken away from him, because he doesn't want to have that kind of kingdom where he has offended a pure devotee. So here again, there's another learning from this verse, that Maharaj Parikshit is saying that he has offended a pure devotee, and we have an important learning that we should not avoid. We should avoid three great offenses in life generally as well. One is against dvija, which means brahmanas, and one against cows, go, and one against devatas or devs. So these three are very important, even in today's world. For example, if we offend a pure devotee, then you know nothing good will come out from our bhakti, our sadhana. We will be continuously going downhill because we don't have any blessings. And same goes with devatas. Devatas are actually very important. For example, Bhagwan Shiva. And Bhagwan Shiva is one of the purest Vaishnavas. And he's always in sadhana of Bhagwan Krishna. So without his blessings, I don't think anyone can be very successful in bhakti. My personal experience also, when I first started in Krishna consciousness, I was very inclined towards Lord Shiva. And I think it's only his blessings that has allowed me to come closer to Krishna and serve Vaishnava so nicely. It's his humbleness that has really given me an example. So Dvijas Brahmanas and Devtas and Gau. And obviously Gau Seva is the most important aspect in any Vaishnava's or any cultured man's life. Because without Gau Seva, this world is going nowhere. As we can see, there's so many calamities already. And Prabhupada has also emphasized so much about cow killing and saving cows and using cow products. And our devotees here at Bhaktivedanta Manor are doing so great. It's a prime example. Such a great initiative that they've started. And I know that there's Prabhuji who handles Sanjay Gohil. I must say he's doing a very great seva there. And it's a very positive thing to see what has happened in Manor. And I think if Krishna willing, this can be imitated in every world, every part of the world, then there will be no calamities and we should be able to save the world. But anyway, going further on, Maharaj Parikshit was thinking about all these things, even before he read the letter. Imagine that. He hasn't even read the letter about Shamik Muni and he's already thinking about all these things. And while he was thinking, the news came that he will depart in 7 days. And then finally, when Maharaj Parikshit read all that, he was actually relieved. Can you believe that? That imagine if you have to leave in 7 days and you have to leave the body in 7 days, and rather than you lamenting about it, you're actually happy about it. That, wow, in 7 days, I'm about to leave the body. This is actually crazy in a way almost, because we are so attached that we don't want to leave. Even if we were to ask someone that, okay, give up your, I don't know, a phone, for example, or a car or even a pen that you really like a lot. You will simply say no. You will say, no, I actually need this. So imagine here Parikshit Maharaj's realization and his level of thinking is so great that he's saying that I'm happy to accept what I've done and the committed crimes and punishment, that this actually came at the perfect time. Because if we think about Parikshit Maharaj and who he is, he is the one who got saved in womb of his mother by the Lord himself. And his whole family, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna, and his Purvaj means his forefathers, they already are Krishna conscious devotees. They are already into Krishna conscious. Everything they do is around Bhagwan only. So Maharaj Parikshit is already a very elevated soul. So for him, leaving the body and going back to Godhead is actually it's a perfect blessing in disguise. And that's what Parikshit Maharaj is thinking. And he's saying that he didn't want anything apart from Krishna Bhakti anyways. And this, whatever has happened, this will help him to reach back to Godhead. Isn't that everyone's goal, that one day we want to reach back to Godhead? And if it is, then this is actually a perfect example, almost, that Srimad Bhagavatam is given to us, and a very important life teaching as well, that we can reach back to Godhead if we surrender to Krishna like Parikshit Maharaj. And now Parikshit Maharaj has realized, and Parikshit Maharaj actually then says in chapter 19 further on, that what I will do 7 days, I will not eat or I will not drink water. Why does he say that to begin with? He says that because he did same with Shamik Muni, because he was hungry and he was thirsty. So he presented a dead snake and he says that I will basically do 7 days complete fast, complete Ekadashi for 7 days and not even eat a grain or non-grain for 7 days and leave his body. So now, I mean, having analyzed a little bit of Parikshit Maharaj's character, what I will do is I will come back to the verse where Prabhupada is explained in purport that the sage rightly takes responsibility for the Brahmanas as community. And if we compare what Prabhupada said in purport to what's happening in today's world, is 100% right. The so-called democrats are capturing, you know, they're like administrative machines. And I mean, generally also, if we look at what is happening in offices or in everyday to day life, everyone wants to become powerful. Everyone wants to be a king almost, and everyone wants to get served always in a way. And everyone just wants to gratify their senses. So in a way, this is one of the ideal verses to concentrate on and to meditate on, because if you think about it, the story that we've just heard about Parikshit Maharaj and how his thinking and his character comes out is incredible. And I was hearing Sutapa Prabhu's class yesterday, and he was saying 6 anarthas, I remember. And it was just in the verse 43. I don't know if anyone remembers, but it's actually linked quite nicely with this. And I'm glad that I got the opportunity to hear his class. coming back to our verse. So Prabhupada said that it is foretold herein that in the absence of good monarchical government, everyone will be with the cause of disturbance for others in the matter of plundering riches, animal women, and doing harm to one another. So now we can also see that what is happening, we are doing a greater harm to ourselves than anyone else. Like I said before, that we want to just get served and we don't want to give. And these are two major qualities where we are actually, these are actually two horrible qualities that everyone acquires somehow or other. And due to that, you know, the matters are plundering and they're going down the drain. And without even us realizing on an everyday basis, we are actually ruining our future. We are very lucky that Srila Prabhupada came to West and he did so much for us, for not for himself. That's a pure example of selflessness. And on everyday life basis as well, I try every day basis that we should be very aware of our actions. What are we doing and who are we speaking to? And when I was preparing for this this talk, I was actually practicing this as I was reading every day. That I was so inspired by Parikshit Maharaj, to be very frank, that it actually helped me to improve as a person, as a Vaishnava, and to speak to not just Vaishnavas but everyone nicely, and react in a way that, you know, non-devotees would not react. And give them something that is greater that you have, and give them your association rather than taking theirs. So I think that can be applied in our day-to-day life as well. When sometimes we go to offices and your boss wants to be the boss, not understanding your part of the stories. We can really relate this to that instant where, imagine you've done something and you come to the boss yourself, say, listen, I've done this. This is something that I've done wrong. And I accept this. So imagine how, you know, quickly the conflict will be resolved in every workplace and everywhere in life, even between man and woman and, you know, husband and wife and kids and in your family life too. It is actually, you know, very, very powerful tool if you concentrate on just the story of Parikshit Maharaj and his character. And further, there's a little bit of a pastime to show how greatly convinced Parikshit Maharaj was in his bhakti and his sadhana. Although it's not about him, it's about Arjuna and Duryodhan, but just to give you a little bit of insight in how convincedly the whole forefathers and fathers and Parikshit Maharaj were in their bhakti, just to inspire a little bit. So, just before the war of Kurukshetra, Duryodhan and Arjuna, they were invited to the Lord Krishna's palace to ask for help. And earlier back in the days when Kshatriyas had to fight, it was a great honor for them. So Duryodhana, he came first, and he is related to Bhagwan. He is related to Krishna. So he came and he sat right next to Bhagwan, where his head was. So the seat right next to it. And why? Because samadhi, the word samadhi means that I am some. I'm leveled with that dhi. Dhi means the soul. So he is now compared. Duryodhana has already got that in his mind that I am samadhi. I'm equal to Bhagwan. So see his thought process. And although Bhagwan knows anything, Bhagwan is some. Some means that he knows he's fair to everyone. He knew that Duryodhana has entered the palace and he's sitting right there. But he didn't want to open his eyes at that time. And then few moments later, when Arjuna came in, Arjuna looked at the Lordship and first he just admired how beautiful the Lord was looking. And then he started massaging Lord's feet nicely and just in a very loving way. And at that time, Lord slowly woke up and he saw Arjuna first. He said, "Oh, Arjuna, you have come. This is so nice and to see you." And although Lord knew that Duryodhan is there as well, but he gave him a chance to come clean, basically. And Bhagwan then looked with his left eye, and he spotted Duryodhan, and Duryodhan at the same time said, "Oh, Bhagwan, Krishna, I have come as well." So he's like, yeah, okay, please come. So what can I help you with?" So Bhagwan now is giving opportunity to Duryodhan and Arjuna to actually choose what they want. He gave Arjuna, because Arjuna was younger than Duryodhana. So according to Niti Shastra, it is always recommended to give chance to small or young ones first. So according to that, Bhagwan said, "Okay, Arjuna, ask what you want from me in this battle. And you can either have my Narayani army, or you can have me." And at that time, Duryodhana was thinking, "Oh dear, I don't want him to choose Narayani army. I want him to choose Bhagwan." And that's what he did. He said to Bhagwan, "I want you. I don't want Narayani army." And Duryodhana became very happy and he said, "Okay, I'll take the army." And he left without even saying, "Okay, thank you so much," or whatever. He left. And so between Arjuna and Krishna, now Bhagwan is asking Arjuna, he said, "Yudhishthir Maharaj has sent you to ask for help. And what you know that I will not pick up any weapons in the war, in the battle. So why have you made this decision to just go with me?" And at that time, Arjuna said something very, it was like the most boiled version of the realization. He said, "Bhagwan, if I have you, I don't need anything else." And that is, if we meditate on that point, it is such a great point. Think about it. If you have Krishna, you don't need anything else. He's a Lakshmipati. He comes with all the good fortune and wealth and everything. So why do you need anything else? So at that time, then obviously Krishna promised Arjuna that, "Okay, whatever you need from me, I will be there." And so this is the level of conviction that that has been passed to Parikshit Maharaj from day one, you see. So this is what my point was, that the story behind, the realization behind the story is that if we have a great conviction towards the Lord and towards Bhagwan, then nothing can, dwindle us from our path of realization. And all in all, no matter whatever is happening today, And so many social anomalies are happening between one another, and so much killing is happening, so much, you know, cow killing is happening especially, and people are basically just, they just want things. They don't want to give things. You know, we've been given this one lifetime to do something good for us. And we are very lucky to come in contact with Krishna consciousness and read Srila Prabhupada's book and have the privilege to chant the holy name. How lucky we are. Imagine how many lifetimes we have spent. And in this lifetime, finally, we have got enough sukriti to realize the Lord. How, or to start our path. So it's never too late to start. And I will conclude the class by saying that that this lifetime is very precious, and every minute that you spend is very precious. And every minute not spent in Krishna consciousness is actually a waste of time. So there are a lot of practical advices. A lot of devotees have actually given in so many classes, and they repeat, and I will repeat them as well. How can we engage ourselves 24 hours in Krishna? When you're eating, eat prasadam, as it says Krishna. When you're sleeping, have thoughts about Lord. Think about the pastimes so much that you have Krishna conscious dreams. When you're walking, you can hear classes. You can listen to Prabhupada's lectures. You can read. Whenever you get moment, just put that moment towards Krishna consciousness. And you see what will happen in the next life and the life after. And one day we will reach back to Godhead very safely and soundly. And even if Bhagwan wants, we may reach even earlier than that. So I will open the floor for any question, answers, or any comments. And again, I would like to humbly apologize to all the Vaishnavas that if I may have spoken out of topic or anything that I've spoken that is not digestible, I take the offense. And I just humbly wish good luck to all of you, and please bless me with all your blessings. I'm very young and I'm only starting in Krishna consciousness, and without your blessings I cannot go anywhere. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Dhyananda Rupa Prabhu. Thank you so much for your amazing class. It was packed with many personal realizations as well as pastimes from the Bhagavatam and reference to Bhagavad Gita. Thank you so much. Yes, very interesting class. You know how you talked about Shyamakrishi's responsible attitude and responsible mood, and how he was, although lamenting about his son's action, he didn't really chastise his son in that way because the relationship wasn't in that mood. So it's really nice to see that. Also how Shyamakrishi was concentrating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was able to obviously understand that that is his ashram and that is what he was supposed to be doing. Now, when Parikshit Maharaj came there in his thirsty, hungry form, and obviously he was in that way thirsty and hungry, and anybody, any one of us, you know, what to speak of Parikshit Maharaj, obviously he's an exalted personality. This is the pastimes of the Lord. So I do have a couple of questions about how we can also imbibe those character traits that the great Parikshit Maharaj has. You know, you mentioned that he has so many amazing characters, character traits, and you found those very, very useful in your life. So what I would like to know is how have those character traits have helped you in your Krishna consciousness, but also more importantly, obviously, a lot of devotees are watching this. They are also working similar to yourself. So how have those character traits also helped you in your day-to-day life? So in Krishna consciousness and also in your day-to-day life.
Prabhu, one thing I would like to point out is constant realization is very important. And I must say that Prabhupada's lectures have given a very major impact in my life. I just listen all the time. That's my key to success, I would say. I whenever I get a time, I like to associate with devotees, even if it's with Zoom or even if it's physically very fortunate. And if it's not, then I'd like to associate with my Guru Maharaj's lectures. And then I take some key points. I keep a note in my car, and I put it on a windshield on the top. And I keep a note. Okay, this is what I need to focus on for today. And rather, either it being Krishna consciousness or not being in Krishna consciousness, we are full-time devotees. Maybe we are wearing something that doesn't matter, but we are full-time devotees always. So to be in that character, that little sticky note helps me to go through the day. And eventually that little sticky notes become your second nature. Then you don't need that. Then your new goal comes up on the top. That, okay, today I've heard this from Srila Prabhupada's lecture. Let me try to put that in my real life. See how that one point will affect me. So I will maybe practice that for 2 days, 3 days, 10 days, 15 days, or however long it takes me to imbibe that character. And then eventually when it's fully in my system that, okay, naturally I will act that way, then either it being the workplace or either it being your personal life or either it being your Krishna conscious life, I don't take them separately. I take them, they are just one life. But yes, we are wearing different garments in different workplace or, you know, wherever circumstances we are. But it is important for us to act in a greater way than other people are, because other people don't have that knowledge that we have been very fortunately given. So I would suggest this to devotees or anyone who is listening, that have little goals in your life, in day-to-day life. Listen every day. Half an hour reading is and hearing is very much recommended. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest tool that's been given to humankind, that you can honestly pick up any purport and just meditate and reflect on it, that what can we actually do from it.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to have you understand your practices and how you actually remember the instructions from your Guru Maharaj as well as Srila Prabhupada. Very nice to hear. We do have another question.
Sure.
From Amrita Vilasini Mataji from the temple room. She's saying, thank you for sharing many details about what happened in the pastime of Maharaj Parikshit being cursed. Where do we find those details that you have narrated about the special curses?
So in chapter... Yes, sure. Yeah, so chapter 17, just before this chapter, there are whole conversation of Parikshit Maharaj between Kali Yuga Avatar and Maharaj Parikshit. Those the whole conversation is there. And if you may remember, in chapter 17, actually, this was the first time Parikshit Maharaj met Kali Yuga, and he gave Kali Yuga four places to stay. And those are our four principles. That is, you can stay in the gold, that means wealth. And so we avoid all that. So Kali Yuga had a little window of opportunity to enter. And it was about that time where Kali Yuga can enter. And because Parikshit Maharaj was wearing a throne of gold, Kali Yuga saw the opportunity and attacked Parikshit Maharaj. Although I mentioned again in my class that it was happening because of the will of Krishna. So that is one reason that why was Parikshit Maharaj cursed. And then obviously in chapter 18 as well and chapter 19, this whole realization and whole conversation and translation is there. Especially in 19, about Srimad Bhagavatam, text 2 and text 3 and text 4. It's all written there, especially in text three. Parikshit Maharaj is saying, because I'm uncivilized and sinful on account of my obstructive intelligence towards Brahmanical culture. So you can see that I've taken all this from 17, 18 and 19. I haven't, these are the references that I have. Obviously, then I've also heard my Guru Maharaj's lecture and I took reference from that only.
Very nice, very nice. That actually leads me to the next question that Kamal Prabhu is asking, Kamal Panchal Prabhu. He's saying, thank you very much for the class, Prabhu. We can see when Parikshit Maharaj was under pressure, obviously with his thirst and hunger, like we mentioned earlier, he gave in to the lower modes, like you mentioned. He gave in to the mode of ignorance because he became angry and so on. and acted disrespectfully towards Shomakarishi. How can we avoid giving into the lower modes when under pressure, as we are often prone to do?
Often, yes, absolutely. Very good question. Prabhu, again, I would like to relate back to that point where you have to constantly remind yourself. I remember from a personal experience, my granddad was in army, and he used to say to me, see, you are going to have some situation in your life where you'll be in extreme under pressure. But once you break at that time, that is when you realize who you really are. And when we are on everyday basis, when we are under so much pressure from work and family, at that time, just take 1 second and just reflect back and say to yourself, I'm a devotee. I need to act the way I need to act. Do not act in any other way. It's a simple test put to me in front of me. And I need to clear that test. And you'll see that you'll get some really mystical power from your heart, your super soul within your heart. And you will be able to overcome that thought straight away. But just remind yourself, always under pressure, that I'm a devotee and this is a mere test for me. Please help me, Krishna, to overcome this. And I swear to God, the way it works, every time it works. My job is, I own a van and I drive 17, sometimes 16 hours. And sometimes I'm without prasadam for such a long time. And sometimes the job is so demanding, there's so much customers and so much problem on the road that if I don't remind myself, I'll go crazy. But at that time, a little kirtan and, you know, just reminder helps that no, we are very fortunate to be in this situation. Let's clear this test.
That's phenomenal. I mean, 16, 17 hours driving, you know, who wouldn't get into like road rage and all different types of things like that? At least, you know, we're here in yes. the UK, even sometimes, you know, you get that kind of thing. In driving in India would be even like, you know, even more traumatic. Thank you for that. Thank you. So then you mentioned, obviously, you have that relationship with Krishna in the heart. So we have one more question here from Harika Mataji in the temple room. She says, how do we come to this level of love where we can say, Krishna, I have you. I don't need anything else. Because some of us are fallen. We cannot even begin to fathom this level of pure love. Our love is very selfish. We love Krishna. How can we relate to the completeness through our nothingness?
This is a brilliant point, Mataji. This is where everyone is struggling, I guess. But answer to your question is association. The more you're associating with the people, especially devotees, you will help to realize that, because Krishna is very near to his devotees, Mataji. And without association, you will not be able to realize that love. And with strong conviction from Shastra helps. If you listen from the right authorized source, like I listen to Prabhupada a lot. Last night I was actually listening to his morning walk lectures. And Prabhupada's words are so sweet and they're like thunderbolt. They will pierce all the impurities from the heart, I can guarantee it. So just take lots and lots of association, Mataji. And when you start to read and relate to those classes that Prabhupada has given or any senior disciple has given, you will realize straight away that how to have that pure love connection. You will have that pure love connection when you have Krishna Katha in your heart. Krishna Katha is very important. Without Krishna Katha, it is not possible to get love. Yes, you may love Krishna because he appears beautifully. Look at Radha Gokulnanda. They're so beautiful. Who cannot be attracted to them? But to have that real love in heart is all by... It's like, for example, if you're... I don't know, if you like some person in the world, what do you do about them? You research, you stalk them, you literally know everything about them. You read about them, you hear about them, you chant about them. This is same philosophy goes for Krishna consciousness. If you really like Gaur Nityananda, or if you really like your Guru Maharaj, then be their biggest fans. Take association. Whatever will bring you near to them, do it. And you'll see that power of Krishna Katha will melt your heart. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. I have one last question. Actually, this is related to the Gita sure. Life course that I've been doing on Sundays. And one of the devotees sure. on that course asked me about Lord Shiva. And I know you said in your class that you were inclined yes. to following Lord Shiva and how he's a pure, pure devotee.
Yes, I was, yes.
And how he was an amazing devotee. He's an amazing devotee of the Lord. So can you perhaps share with us yes. how Lord Shiva has brought you to Krishna consciousness?
Absolutely, yes. Me being from Hindu background, Punjabi Hindu background, my life has been always around demigods, especially Lord Shiva is very powerful. He's got that personality. He's got Trishul in his hand. He's willing to kill for his devotees and all that. So that always attracted me to begin with anyway. And plus my mother used to tell me a lot of pastimes. See, Lord Shiva has done that. Lord Shiva has done that. And then when I actually read Canto 10 and especially Canto 8 and Samudra Manthan, I realize how great Lord Shiva is. Because in Samudra Manthan, Lord Shiva drinks the poison. Who does that? No one can do that. This shows how great Lord Shiva was and is. And he's always got a special place in my heart because of the sacrifice he does for Vaishnavas. So in order to serve, in Samudra Manthan, we can actually learn that in order to serve the will of the Lord, he did not question or he did not even ask for Amrita. Amrita means the Amrit that came out from the pot. He did not even ask for that. He just simply accepted the poison and he left. Because that was Lord's wish. And that has earned even greater respect in my mind. And I was like, wow, we've got to learn so much from Lord Shiva, where he is such a great Vaishnava. Just these simple acts of humility and compassion towards Vaishnava can be applied in everyday life so beautifully. So that has inspired me. It's just the pastimes and Krishna Katha only, probably, to answer your question. That has inspired me. I've done a lot of, and there's also, actually, there's a Varaha Kavach. In Varaha Kavacham, Lord Shiva explains to Parvati Devi that what is the glories of Lord Varaha? And it is beautifully explained in 60 verses, what Lord Varaha has done to Lord Shiva and how he is such a personified personality. So I would bring that back to reading more glories of what Lord Shiva has. And then this is actually explained by Suta Goswami itself. And I think it's written by Ramanujacharya. And if you need Varaha Kavacham, I can provide that. It's not a problem. But it's very, very glorified. Very glorified.
Excellent. Thank you so much.